We'll be in Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, worthy living or walk worthy, either way, worthy living is what I have. And if you look in Ephesians 4 verse 1, it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And so, you know, Paul's writing and calling those who were called unto Christ to walk worthy of it. And he gives us that those details, and we'll be in 17 through 24 as he gives some explaining. So we'll see what God has for us in Ephesians chapter 4. Let us pray one more time and we'll get right in. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come together, to worship together. Father, praise you, to be in your word together. And Father, we ask that you'd speak to us. Lord, correct us where we need correcting. Lord, give us the attaboy where we need attaboy. We love to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Father, at the same time, we know there may be areas we need to fix. So Lord, whatever it is, draw us close to you, and we'll give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the acceptable service, and so now we're looking at walking worthy. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writes, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Before he begins to tell us what walking worthy looks like, he gets into what it is not. And sometimes it's we can tell what to do by what we're told not to do, and then a lot of times we'd be told what to do and we understand what not to do. So Paul gives us a little bit of each in this passage. But it begins where he says, walk not as other Gentiles. And as he was writing to Gentile believers, he was simply saying, don't act like those non-believing, pagan-thinking Gentiles that are out there. You know, we think about today, most of us here are Gentiles that have been born again. That just means we're not of the Israelites, not of the Jewish, and it's everybody else. He's telling us not to walk just like they do. Believers are not to live and act like non-believers. He said the vanity of their mind. We're not to walk like they walk. We're not to have the vanity of their mind. That's how they walk. Their mind is morally deprived. They have thoughts that are fleeting, and they act upon whatever the next whim is. They just go in and out of life doing whatever feels right at the moment, whatever it might be right to them, regardless of what it means to anyone else. The vanity of the mind is responsible for shock culture. As we look out and, you know, it seems that somebody's always trying to one-up somebody else on what the next shock is out there. I remember when, you know, hardly ever would people expose themselves very much, and now you see it more and more on anything and everything, and it's getting crazy. As we go through something as simple as scrolling through your Facebook social media, you'll get stuff that pops up, and it just amazes me the depravity of mankind. What's going to shock us next? You know, there was a time where there were certain things that wouldn't be talked about in mixed company. And we see that falling by the wayside. You know, sometimes, it was often thought that the men had the, how can I say this gingerly, had the mouth and the mind that was going to be ugly and nasty and disgusting. And yet we find today that women are falling right into it, and there's no difference. And it floors me. It floors me. Cancel culture has come out of vanity of the mind, the morally depraved, not willing to learn from history. Rather, let's just cancel it and pretend like it never happened. Let's rewrite it and make something new. Let's change things. That's all from the vanity of the mind. Political correctness has come out of the vanity of the mind. Well, you got to be careful what you say nowadays, right? It's been like that for a little while, nothing new. But you could say something, and if it hurt somebody's feelings, they got over it. If it hurts your feelings, you get over it. Sometimes we need to hear something because it's the truth. And now people can't hardly stand the truth. They say, oh, that's not true to me, or that hurt me, and you need to pay. And nobody's interested in correcting themselves anymore. They don't want you to tell them about sin. They don't want you to tell them how wrong they're living. They don't want you to tell them anything that might help them. They want to live in their depravity and continue doing what feels right. I mentioned the Facebook Reels going through the Real Challenges, or R-E-E-L, Real Challenges. That blows me away. If you don't know what that is, these kids, they watch different reels, and most of the kids don't use Facebook. They use other social medias. The older folk were on Facebook, but they're on all this other stuff. And they have challenges issued to one another on these reels. And you know, remember the kids getting sick from eating Tide Pods? Guess where that came from? Somebody got on there, made a reel about challenging people to eat Tide Pods or however it went, and that blows my mind. Common sense has gone out the window. Tide Pods, eat them. They had the cinnamon challenge that went around for a while, and these have gone around for probably, I don't know, it's been several months, maybe even years now. Everything kind of runs together with COVID and the hurricanes. But they would challenge one another to eat a tablespoon or a spoonful of cinnamon with no water, none, just stick it in the mouth. And, you know, there's people that died from that. I can't imagine trying to put a whole tablespoon of cinnamon in your mouth. That's stupid. It's stupid is what it is. And you know what? If you tell somebody, hey, that's stupid, guess what? You're not politically correct. Well, I guess I'm not politically correct, because if you ain't got enough sense not to eat Tide Pods or to have cinnamon, maybe then the natural law will just take care of itself. Survival of the fittest, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but it is what it is. Somebody said, if you're going to be stupid, then you better be strong. So, or better be tough. There's a lot of stupid people, a lot of stupid ideas. And I would be, if I stood up here and said, I've never done anything stupid, I'd be lying. Thank God that every stupid thing we do don't kill us. But sometimes the stupidity of things that go on out just blow my mind. And then the fact, the vanity of the mind, where again, individuals have their own truths. In other words, what's true for me may not be true for you, or what's true for you may not be true for me. That blows my mind too. I don't understand how there can be two truths about the same thing that are contrary to one another. It doesn't make sense. Yet that is the vanity of the mind. And even back then, as Paul was writing Ephesians, telling them not to walk as the Gentiles walk, those pagan thinking non-believers, in the vanity or the depravity of their mind because of crazy things like this. He says, they have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that darkened understanding is the deep thoughts and the imaginations that they have. It's darkened, meaning there's no light there. There's no light because there's no Jesus. And God is light, thus thinking without God means we're thinking darkness. They have their understanding darkened because there's nothing there to illuminate it. Their thought processes are driven by worldliness rather than godliness, and their moral understanding has been completely lost. And it's amazed me, the lack of morals that goes on today. You know, as a culture gets further and further away from God, the more their morals get further and further away. I think of the old Roman Empire before it imploded. How far away from the truth did they get before they were finally ousted or finally gone? You can read about it. You can hear about it. They make shows about it. And it seems like all the things that caused them and drove them to corruption and drove them to a failed society is what we want to celebrate in society now. Everything's twisted. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. Just as it's been prophesied. No new ground. A darkened understanding. A life that's alienated from God, or alienated from the life of God. Meaning estranged. Or a non-participant. A stranger to God. Ignorant. Some of these folks were ignorant because of choosing not to know God. And as you choose not to know God, you'll choose not to live for God. You'll choose not to want to obey God. Some of them are ignorant because those before them chose not to know God, and thus it wasn't shared with them. I think of some of the young ones in today's generation that don't know anything about God, not because of their own fault, but because of the fault of their parents or the fault of their grandparents. They're ignorant because of the ignorance that went on before, a willful ignorance that happened before and an unwillful ignorance now. And that's not a derogatory statement. That's just meaning they don't know. They don't have the knowledge of it. Maybe the willful ignorance might be a little more derogatory, but the ignorance because you don't know. And that's a shame. You know, I mentioned before, and I say it again as it blows me away, that when Dondi taught the VBS class and her young ones, it was the first year that she said when she asked about Jesus, nobody knew who Jesus was. And so that just blows me away that there's a culture, a generation that's coming up that doesn't know anything about Jesus. You know, we come to church and we fellowship and we teach our kids and we read the Bible and we pray and we're living in what we call the Bible Belt and we think that everybody does this. And yet, the more and more, if you look around and pay attention, the more and more you see that everybody don't do it. And that there's a lot of people lacking in the knowledge of God. I was amazed when they were on the streets of New York and asking who the disciples were. And people couldn't even name that. Not even one. And it just amazes me the ignorance that people have, whether it's willful or whether it's because someone before them didn't tell them. But there's a people that have become alienated from the life of God. They've become estranged and non-participants. Now notice Paul's writing all this and he's telling believers not to do this. So that means there's a risk that believers could end up doing these kind of things. Can a believer have their mind messed up? Yeah, if they're not walking with God. Can their understanding become darkened? Yeah, if they're not walking with God. Can they become alienated from God if they're not walking with Him? It's by their own choosing, their own walking away. That doesn't mean that He won't go after, and it doesn't mean that He won't take them back, but it means that it's possible for a believer to fall into the same things that these non-believers are falling to. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have had to warn them, don't do that. And so we got to be careful in the church today that we don't fall into the same things that these Christians were falling into. He said, oh, brother, how can that happen? Look at America today. Look at the church today. There's a lot of churches out there, a lot of Bible-believing churches that just aren't doing anything. They've become alienated from the life of God. Not that they don't believe and not that they don't love them. They're just not living for them. They're not walking with them. Their hearts become blind. They have a heart that's hardened into the things of God to lead a separated life from God. See, there's way hearts that have hardened to the things of God lead to a life separated from God, which leads to a life living in darkness. No, Paul wasn't writing to say, hey, be careful, you're going to lose your salvation. No, he's saying, I want you to walk worthy of what you've been called to do. And so nowhere in here is Paul saying that the born-again believer, if you're not walking with God, you're not going to be a child of God anymore. No, it's a warning to be careful that if you're not doing the things to be with God every day, that you could fall into this trap that Satan would love to have you in. And Satan knows he can't have you, but he knows he can stop you. And he works overtime to do it, him and his henchmen. He may not be him personally, but until you get on fire for God, you can bet the enemy will come around. In fact, if you don't want any problems from the enemy, just don't do nothing from God. Yeah, don't do that. I don't recommend that either. I'd rather have trouble from the enemy than trouble from the Father. I'd rather have trouble from the enemy than a deaf ear from my Father. Now, that's the scary part. We're not living the way we're supposed to, and God said if we regard iniquity in our heart, that He doesn't hear us. And if I'm not living like I should be living, I'm not walking worthy, then I run the risk of the Father not hearing me. I run the risk of the fellowship that we have to have a joyful life is not going to be where it needs to be. And so Paul's saying, hey, don't walk like those pagans out there. And it's all around us. They were ate up with it then in the area around them, and we're ate up in now in the area around us. Who being past feeling, verse 19. Excuse me. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I took a little bit to read that and over and over and over. Who being past feeling means they become apathetic to the things of God. And the lost are that way, and there's believers that if we're not careful, we become apathetic to the things of God. And we get caught up in living our own life, and we're not worried about telling someone else about Christ. We're not worried about that time of prayer. We become apathetic to it. We're not worried about that time in the Word. Other things become more important and take our time away, and we just become apathetic to the things of God. And he said, when that happened, they gave themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lewd conduct, sensuality. Because they became apathetic to the things of God, they gave themselves over to lewdness and sensuality, to work all cleanness or moral wickedness with greediness, fraud, extortion, covetousness. All those things went together. They were given totally over to impureness, being impure. And how much impurity does it take to not be pure? Just one thing. One thing's all it takes. And what's it take to become pure? The blood of Jesus. And for the born-again believer, what's it take to get ourselves back to pureness? Getting back right with God. Confessing where we've messed up. Confessing where we become apathetic. Where we become weak. And not that we're necessarily relying on our strength, but we've no longer relied on His strength, and it's become a weakness to us. Where we've become alienated from God because of our lack of walking with Him. All those things leads to our impurity. And yet we can come back and be pure by confessing, repenting and confessing. Just as you came to Him the first time when you were a sinner, needed saving, when you had the pagan thinking, you come to Him the same way. God, forgive me. I know I'm your child, and man, I haven't done this right. Forgive me. And the great thing is, it's just like He saved you the first time, He'll look at you and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. I can imagine the smile that comes across God's face when one of His children confesses when they haven't been living right. How it makes Him glad. We know that there's joy in the presence of the angels when one comes to know Christ as their Savior. And I imagine so that there's joy when His children ask for forgiveness too and get back right with Him. As Paul's telling them all these things of what not to do, he now goes into verse 20. He says, but all these things you have not learned in Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ. None of those things I previously mentioned is an example given by Christ. That was the pagan world. None of those previous things have been taught as part of the life of Christ. Christ didn't live those things. Christ didn't teach those things. He said, you hadn't learned those of Christ. So what was taught of Christ? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and all thy strength. That's it. Love Him with all those things. And don't forget, love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And not only your neighbor, but love thy enemy. Not only love them, pray for them. Not only love them and pray for them, forgive. Oh, man. Forgive those that have wronged you. And put others first. And Jesus taught that. Flee lustfulness. He taught those things. Sell that you have and give to the poor. He said that to the rich man to test, try his heart, rich young ruler. He said, hate your father, mother, brother, sister. If that comes between you and a relationship with God. I mentioned last week about the man that come to know Christ and it caused him to be rejected by his family. But he didn't let the love of his mother, father, brother, sister keep him from coming to know Christ. And so that's what Jesus is saying, the same thing. If the love of your father, mother, brother, sister is keeping you from walking with Christ or doing the thing that God wants you to do, then you have to hate them, figuratively. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He taught that. He also taught, whoever loves the world can't be my disciple. Those are what Jesus taught. He said, all those other things that I mentioned, you hadn't been learned those of Christ, but these are things that he did teach, and Paul didn't mention all those, but we know that's things that Jesus did teach as he walked. You go back in the Gospels, you can read those. Verse 21, he said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. He said, if you've heard him, or those that have taught what he has said, if you've been taught by him, or those that have taught you what has been said, or as you read through scriptures and you've been taught yourself the things that Jesus said, those things are the truth in Jesus. And as you've heard about those truths that Jesus taught and lived, do so likewise. Do so likewise. There's no excuse not to. Anything contrary to the way Jesus taught and the way that Jesus lived is to go against God. And to go against God is to be alienated from the life of God. Verse 22, he says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Remember, conversation, just King James for lifestyle. Put off that old lifestyle, the formal lifestyle, the old man, take it off, put it off, leave it off. Paul mentioned that more than once in his letters to the churches. It's something he mentioned often. We're to put off that old man. And it's almost something that has to be done every day. And Paul said it this way, I die to self daily. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to take up the cross and follow him, then we have to die to self daily. And we have to put off that old lifestyle daily. Why? Because it wants to come up from time and time again. And we're reminded of the old lifestyle because it's all around us. He said, put it off. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The born-again believer, as a born-again believer, you have the option to now partake and leave that old lifestyle out. You don't have to partake and live out the old lifestyle. You don't have to be led by corruption. And you don't have to be led by lust. We were led by the Spirit. And what is it about deceitful lust? He says, lust are deceitful. Why are lust deceitful? Because they promise pleasure and fulfillment. And they only deliver on 50%. And lust might give you pleasure, but they'll never fulfill you. Never. The only thing lust does is leave you longing for more. And usually it takes you further and further. It may give you pleasure for a moment, but it'll leave you longing for more. Take off that old man. Never put him back on. If you're tempted to pick him up, throw him down. But I don't have the strength today. Then ask God to give you the strength. He didn't leave you in the fight to do it by yourself. Take him off and leave him off. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This was neat as I was looking at this today. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let your mind be renovated. That renewed is to be renovated. And I got to think about renovating. If I want to get something renovated, then I got to call a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. Wow, that was cool. That was a nice little thought that came in. I could let my mind be renovated by Jesus. Not only was he a carpenter, though, he lived the lifestyle here on earth. He lived life on earth, and so he knows how we're tempted, and he knows the things we struggle with, and he knows all those things about us. And so we can go to him, and he can give us every help that we need. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let your mind be renovated by the carpenter. Let your mind be renewed by Jesus. Let your thought process be driven by God, and let your life be lived by the Holy Spirit through you. And he says, in that ye put on the new man. Not only do we take that old man off, not only renew the spirit of our mind, but we put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For the born-again believer, putting on the new man is just as much a choice as putting off the old man. You got the option every day. What are you going to choose? Am I going to wear the new man today? Or am I going to drag out that old man and let him hang around? He said, put on that which pertains to God and his kingdom. Righteousness, choose every day to do right with God. Holiness, choose every day to walk worthy of the calling of God. And those days where you just don't feel like it, and sometimes they're like that. You ever wake up in one of those moods? There's been occasion when I wake up in a mood and I just don't feel like doing anything today. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like helping anybody. That's those times most that we need to pray and that we need to read the Bible and that we need to let our mind be renewed, because the enemy's constantly attacking. The old flesh is constantly attacking. We have to be ever mindful to put on the new man and allow God to live through us. Reject the old way of living and embrace the new way in Christ. Amen.